Got us. Highway 101.
Time is 48 minutes past the hour of 7 a.m. In the studio with me this morning is Melissa Freeban. She is a registered nurse. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And also Sharon DeYoung, who is, did I get that right?
Yeah, DeJong.
DeJong, who is a recovering addict. Both of these women are being extremely vocal about the Harm Reduction Coalition of Santa Cruz and their application to the Department of Public Health Office of AIDS for a mobile needle exchange program in North and South County. This is going through a public review right now. The petition is up on Good Morning Monterey Bay Facebook page. So if you want to sign it, it is there. I have signed it. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
What I don't understand is, I think this is a case of somebody, Denise Ellerick and those with her in this group. They mean well, but their execution, to me, is all absolutely about face. Am I right, Melissa?
Yes, I completely agree. I think that people need to understand that our petition has nothing to do with debating about the benefit of harm reduction to stop the spread of disease. Our petition has to do with the fact that since Denise has been going down to Camp Ross with her team, with her coalition, less people suffering from drug addiction have been seen at Emmeline, meaning less people have been referred to medical treatment for serious wounds or, you know, also the Emmeline campus, they can refer to treatment, to mental health. They can refer to housing. They can test them for HIV, Hep C. They can talk about Janus Methadone Clinic there. Denise, all she's offering is basically like a needle giveaway on, you know, I mean, that's how I feel.
Do you have the numbers on in terms of people that normally would go to the county Emmeline building for treatment as opposed to those who are not going now because they have free needles?
Yes. So we did an analysis of how many clients go for primary exchange means I'm going for myself to exchange needles. Secondary exchange means I'm going to get needles for myself and maybe my partner or anybody else I come into contact with, I can exchange them. So last year at this time in March, the Emmeline Clinic saw 144 people for primary exchange. This March, they saw 44.
Wow.
Yes.
So then we have 100 people that could have had exposure to getting treatment for other ailments or for their own addiction if they had reached a point where they didn't want to continue in that lifestyle. But those 100 people are not getting that exposure now.
Yeah, so basically those people are not getting that exposure. And also, yeah. So we don't actually know who is giving them the needles. So when Denise and her team hand somebody needles, right, through secondary exchange, we're not capturing who those people are and what kind of help they need because they're not being seen by medical professionals. They're not being inputted into a system that then can say, okay, you've been a client for this long. We want to get you local services. And the mistrust that's going on, you know, part of Denise's application says that, you know, local drug addicts don't trust medical professionals. And I disagree with that. You know, nurses and doctors are the ones who help people in their addiction, right? When they need that hand up, when they are ready to choose that they no longer want to use drugs, it's nurses and doctors who are there helping them through that to help them recover.
You, Sharon, you would know about this perhaps firsthand as you are in recovery. You're a recovering addict for how long now?
Over 27 years.
Yeah, I saw that. Congrats. I saw that you got a chip just recently. So good for you. Where do you come from on this then?
Well, like you had said earlier, I think these folks are, you know, well-meaning but misguided. And I fully support a one-to-one exchange. You know, it stops disease. That's kind of a no-brainer. But I feel as of late, people are treating addiction more like a lifestyle choice. And it's like we're normalizing shooting poison into our bodies. It's these kits that they're handing out come with a tie-off and directions how to shoot up, too. And that, to me, how is that in and of itself preventing disease at all? And these same folks, too, are starting to, that I've seen, soften the language around addiction. I actually spoke with Denise at one point. We both served on the sheriff advisory team together, and she was talking about how we don't call them addicts anymore. We call them substance dependent. And when I claimed that I was an addict and an alcoholic, that was the most empowering thing I've ever done in my whole life. And I have no shame about that at all. So there's nothing shameful about calling an addict. That's what they are. Uh-huh. That's what I am, you know. So instead of treating these folks, people like me, like wounded animals, which we're not, you know, we have our wounds, but it's up to us to go figure out how to deal with those when we get into recovery. I just feel there's this whole system recently seems more like coddling addicts, treating them like they're wounded animals and keeping them sick. That's just my experience around it. It's not my opinion. I've also done my share of enabling of others, so I know what it's like on that end, mm-hmm. too.
And that doesn't help anybody at all.
It doesn't. Enabling almost killed me by people that enabled me. Between my hustle and their enabling, I almost died. And then I went in turn and enabled someone else to the point where other people were harmed very badly.
So, in fact, this doesn't just fall at the feet of the individual who is addicted. And I would never use that other term. I would always say addict myself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just fall at their feet because of the fingers of outreach of addiction.
Right. It's a family. It's a family disease, in my opinion. That's an opinion, in my experience in working for years.
Yeah.
Been working for years on that.
So how many needles are they distributing, do we know, weekly to the camp right now?
So last month, the March stats for the program, we don't have Denise's numbers because we don't have access to that data. But the county releases their report, and they gave out over 61,000 needles last month.
61,000 needles?
Yes.
There
yes.
are 200 people there. How much stuff are they shooting up every day? Well, there's a question. I have no idea. Well, how many times does a heroin addict shoot up?
It depends. I mean, it can go from once or twice to 15. I mean, it just depends. And it's not just heroin that they're shooting up in there. It's meth, too.
Which is disgusting as well.
Oh, it's horrible. It's a horrible thing to be putting into your body.
So what is it that you, because they're asking for validation from the state, I understand, in order to do this. You're a nurse, Melissa. Where do you come from in terms of validation? By the way, Melissa works at Soledad Prison in the hospital department there, so you see your fair share of this, I'm sure, on a regular basis.
We deal with drug addiction in the prison. I mean, mm-hmm. this is kind of the end result where a lot of addicts end up because of their usage and then committing crimes. They end up with a serious, you know, criminal charge and end up incarcerated. So where I'm coming from is that people need to understand that our local county program runs under an ordinance that is voted on by the Board of Supervisors and has a lot of accountability and transparency with that ordinance. Whereas Denise's application goes through the State Department of Public Health Office of AIDS, which means that bypasses any local control over this program, meaning that as long as the state certifies her, she can basically kind of do whatever she wants without, you know, if the community is upset about it, we have nowhere to lodge our complaints.
And does she have, as part of her group, a doctor, a nurse, a paramedic, anybody medical?
You know, I've been asking, I tried to have a conversation with Denise as well to ask who of her group is medically trained, what are their backgrounds, and I got a lot of runaround. You know, as we know, Denise is a local dental hygienist. That's not a nurse. That's not a, you know, going to a couple harm reduction meetings and conferences does not make you an expert on drug addiction or how to solve it. It's a very complex issue. And as far as the person that's on the cover of the Sentinel, Jennifer Langford Brown, you know, she told me she was a public health nurse. So, you know, we're licensed professionals. I went to the Board of Nursing website to look for a license for her. I can't find one. You know, if someone is going to claim to be a registered nurse, then they need to give you their license number.
Jeez, Louise, we could talk about this for a long time. We're out of time, but I appreciate this. Again, if you do not wish this group to be validated, you can go to the Good Morning Monterey Bay Facebook page and sign the petition. I'm sure that we'll see you again, because I'm sure there's a lot more to have on this discussion. Sharon De Jong and Melissa Freeburn, thank you so much this morning, ladies.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Appreciate
thank
your time. KSCO News Talk Time, 59 past 7. Here's Alex with your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update.